Okay, this is February 23rd, and tonight is questions and answers.
Good evening. Well, as always, it's so nice to see so many wonderful gods and goddesses in one room. Now, I hope that is slowly sinking into you, that you are connected to this universe more than you will ever know. I'll tell you a cute story that happened today, and immediately I said, isn't that wonderful? I was working around my house, and I needed candles, little tea candles I get, and I buy them at IKEA. Now, my friend was driving up for my birthday from Palm Springs, and I thought, well, when he gets here, I'll ask him if he wants to run to IKEA in Burbank. And I thought, well, that's an awful thing to ask somebody else, but maybe he'll want to do it. 10 minutes later, the phone rings, and it's my friend, and he said, you know, I'm with IKEA. Is there anything you would like? And I said, are you at the one in Burbank? He said, no, I'm at the one in, we're coming up from Palm Springs, whatever town that was. I said, yes, sir. Well, I went. 5 packets of the lilac candles. And he said, well, what if they don't have them? I said, they'll have them. Now, he arrived, and he had the candles, and they were the lilac, exactly what I wanted. And I said to him, how much do I owe you? And he said, it's your birthday, they're yours. Now, why am I telling you that story? Because your mind is doing something all the time. I put that out there, that idea, and it gets picked up. You have to remember that something is listening all the time. See?
That brought up a question?
Yes, okay. What is the question?
The question is it listening more to your mind than somebody else's?
Say that again.
If I had done that, same exact scenario, I don't know that the universe would have been responding that way to me that it did to you. So,
well, the universe always responds the same way to everyone. This thing called God or the universe does not show favorites. You just have to tune in and you have to know that that can be done. It's just mind talking to mind. There's only ever mind. You put that out there in the universe, it goes someplace. And it went there. Now, the other reason why I bring that up is because in this teaching, there is no such thing as chance or accident or coincidences of any type. Now, most people say, oh, well, he was coming that way and all. No! I had no idea that he, first, I don't know where the IKEA was that he went to, you know. So I just said to myself, I want those candles, I want this. And it goes out. And it comes back to me. But if you can't say that it's, you can say that it's mystical and magical, but you have to know that you're causing that, that this universe is listening to you. Okay? Help you? And don't ever say it happened, that I can do it and you can't. What I can do, you can do. God does not show favorites. Christine, you had a question?
Well, a couple of things. You just reminded me something that happened to me where I, after last week, I think it was, or maybe it was the previous week, you had said, put out there what you want, you know, in your mind, and it'll come to you. But I put out there that I wanted to be in a series, in a comedy series. And then I forgot about that. And I'm in real estate now, which is how I make my money, not in a comedy series. I get a call, I got an email though from director who directs comedy series, big ones, Home Improvement, through, Best Man Standing. And he wants to see this house that I have on the back cover of a magazine. And I thought immediately, this is really interesting, you know, I've attracted a huge comedy, like probably the most prolific director of comedy series into my life, but it's through this other avenue, and what's going to happen here. So, you know, and then I actually forgot about it. I forgot to tell you this stuff, but... So maybe you can talk about that a little
bit. Well, you have to realize that God works in strange and mysterious ways. You don't know what's going on, and you have to let that out there now, and something wonderful will happen, you see.
It's just
going to
happen on
its
own?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Oh, heavens forbid you don't have to control things.
I know.
Oh, that's a new one, isn't it?
Usually new.
Did she need to do more? It's already out there.
It's already out there. All she
so
needs to do is
do it again.
Is receive. Most people, after they do something, they have no, they cannot receive it. You so know that it's coming to you and say, "My arms are open, my heart's open, my mind's open to receiving this. It's a gift coming my way."
So, what's the relationship between believing and receiving?
Well, a lot of people believe, but they have never opened themselves to receiving anything. And that's in our culture. When I grew up, people would say, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh,
God.
It's awful. So, and that's in our... That's how we get conditioned. When I tell you that we're puppets of our conditioning, we start to believe that stuff because everyone is saying it. And the one that I knew that said it to most was my mother's cousin, Betty, who lived and breathed the Lutheran Church. And she knew everything about the Lutheran Church, and she knew, but she would say, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. She could never receive a damn thing. You know, now I'm all into receiving. Hint, hint. So, does that help you? Yeah. Use this thing and be light with it. So, God has a wonderful sense of humor. You know, you don't have to be all this rigid stuff that they have, and these steps and all that kind of crap drives me nuts. If you do 1, 2, 3, something will happen. If you believe something will happen, something will happen. Now we have to talk to Andy's question was, what's the difference between receiving and believing?
What's the relationship?
What's the relationship? Well, the relationship is usually far apart. And now you have to bring it together. You have to bring your belief and your and the receiving together. You see, it's not two things, it's only one thing.
What about the expression that I think you said, manifestation happens instantaneously at the moment of belief?
Yes. What I say is all miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief. As soon as you believe something, it's done. But we're always trying to bring ourselves to that point of belief. And then I use this, I always say, I believe. But help me with my unbelief. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. We always have a little bit of unbelief. I'm sure the Pope has a little bit of unbelief. You see? So you say to yourself, I believe. But help me with this. And this thing will help you.
I had an interesting experience that I want to explore. About 2 weeks ago, money was really tight. And I was sort of concerned about it. And then I had to go to this audition. And then this audition, I was supposed to be, like, getting massage on the beach. And, like, you know, so, like, just sort of being bliss. So for this audition, I literally had to, like, bring myself to this, like, great feeling. And as soon as I walked out of the audition, like, just money just started popping up all over the place. It was really funny.
Yes. And then you mustn't say it's funny. That's the way it is supposed to work,
yeah.
Andy. And you let go of that idea. Now, what did you say? Never say money's tight. Never use that word, money's tight. What do you say? Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. And something when you were relaxing and so forth changed. So money started to come to you. It was always there.
It was, yes.
How do you keep it coming, though?
By
by
repeating it and repeating it, that money is always freely circulating, and start to believe that. You see, you have to. That's where our belief comes in. But and you have to get ready. You have to watch. I've said this many times. You have to watch your vocabulary. You cannot manifest something if you do not have the right vocabulary. So you eliminate things from your vocabulary, like money is tight. Now that is an old, old statement, isn't it? People used to say, oh, my money's tight. What the hell does that mean? I have no idea what tight money is.
Yeah, yeah.
The only other thing I never had people say, oh, I make good money. I make good money.
Yeah, yeah.
That means above average.
Oh, is that
above
average?
Above average.
But money, you just keep thinking money. And now use that and remember what you did and remember how powerful you were. As soon as you had that, money started to come to you. You unblocked it. And don't never know where the money is going to come from. You don't have to know that. I get money from all kinds of sources I never even follow.
I don't think it was just, the opening up, the attraction was there, but I think there was also like the previous thing before that was the strong desire for it. So I think it was the two things.
Well, always have a strong desire for what you want, people. It's done that way. You said something else which I want to comment on, and I have to think a moment what it was. You started to feel that different when you were having the massage, the imitation massage. And that is one of the things that this teaching teaches you. You must learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. Most people are not doing that. They're just letting random feelings come and go, come and go. Oh, I feel awful. Oh, I feel this. I feel that. You know. Please. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. And learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. That's absolutely textbook Ernest Holmes. And I think that statement happens to be on page 181. Or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. But it's in there. I think it's 181. Under question. It's nice to see you, young man. I want to get your name and write it down for me because I'll talk to Joyce.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm in a living situation and everything is very negative. It's to the point where his energy is so bad that I'm in state. I just come home and speak about it.
Yeah.
The financial needs. And I feel like, you know, I'm not happy about it, but I don't know how to take someone's negative energy to be around.
Well, don't be around.
I don't want to. He's very cheap. He's very, very lack of limitation. Yeah. Like everything, his house just rinsed of it right down to the shower curtain. There's some cheap that literally flows and the water flaps because it's cheap. And I'm just like, I don't
want to
be around this.
No. He's attracting all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And he says things like, I'm too old to get a job. I'll get a job, but if I get it, then it means that I'm not too old for the job. It's like, oh, this is so wrong.
So save your money and get out of there.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully.
Know the right and perfect place is coming to you. Okay. Now, I'll give you an affirmation. Spirit can do for me what I cannot do. It can find my right place and put me in it. I love that one. Spirit can do for me what I cannot do. It can find my right place and put me in it. There's a God, it works for everything. Works for everything.
Well, actually, I am moving. I found a person who actually would be cheap rent, and I have my own bedroom, and I and it's not a 2 weeks. So.
Yeah.
And that happened because I just told God, I can't take this.
Well, yeah, see.
My right in perfect place, I've been affirming that.
Yes, good. It'll happen. Jerry, you had a question.
I do. Well, basically, my question was about, like, when I started coming to your class, you know, there's, your money is a big part of it. I mean, it's...
Money is a big part of everything, people, please.
Right, it was a big part of it. And I kind of thought, you know, and there's a lot of about money. It's abundant, it's pretty circulating, and there's a lot of emphasis in my life about having money, making money, that kind of thing. As I've been coming here, though, I think you tricked me a little bit. So now I'm thinking not quite so much about money, maybe more about prosperity, and that it's broader than just money. Money's just a little part of it.
Absolutely.
So I think what has been happening in the years that I've been coming here is that I find that there's much more happiness in my life, and it's because I feel more prosperous.
Yes.
And that prosperity has a little bit to do with money, for sure. Having the things that I need to be comfortable in life, for sure. But it also comes, there's a peace of mind. I think last week or a few weeks ago, you used the word serenity. There's a certain serenity in my life today, more so than I had before.
Yes.
And comfort and love and happiness, just happiness about my everyday life.
Yes.
And I don't worry about things. Not like I used to once in a while, maybe I worry. I don't worry too much about money and things like that.
Never worry about money.
Yeah, I don't.
No. Does anyone know what we have to do with this? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. And that's what you were doing. You see it now completely differently than you used to. So things are coming to you, and they'll continue to do that. And aren't you in a better place in your mind and mentally, and you have peace of mind, you have all that stuff. Yeah.
Is that what the kingdom of heaven is, peace of mind?
Yes. You're more than welcome. Scott, you have a question? Questions and answers.
It is. I'm sure they're going to Daniel first in a couple of minutes.
All right. We'll let you settle in. Anyone else? Question?
Just what you said. I have a little rental that I didn't want to have to rent out, but I have to rent out. So I'm like pimping and hawing. I finally get it ready and put it on Craigslist and other things. So I've been getting like 9 billion calls, and I'm like, ugh, I hate this part. Because you got to edit these people. And, Anyway, so a friend of mine does clearings of houses. She'll go in and I always have her go and do a clearing before I rent it. And she came in and she goes, I don't feel anything negative in this one. The last tenant was okay. I go, yeah, she was fine. And then she goes and does her thing, and she goes, now, what do you want? What do you want in a tenant? So I tell her. And she goes, okay, keep that intention.
Right.
And so that was last Monday. So I kept getting calls, and I showed it. And then on Wednesday, I got a call, just this couple. And I go, I don't want a couple. And I just want one person. But they're really young, and they're going, oh, we're, you know, my fiance and I, I'm like, ugh, God. God. I think I'll just show it to him anyway. Comes in, and he's a pastor. He's an assistant pastor of a church. And the nicest little guy on the planet. And just a doll. And then I meet, you know, the fiance. And she's a doll, too. And I'm going, oh, my God. I go, you're it. Sis, we're done.
So you don't have to do all that Craigslist and so forth, you know. When you're going to do something like that, rent a place or whatever you want to do, you have to sit down and say to yourself, the right and perfect person is coming to me right here and right now.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to go through 1,000 applications or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let God be the clearinghouse. Because that's overwhelming. That Craigslist is too overwhelming for me. I never got anything by looking in a newspaper. Of course, I don't read newspapers. But I never looked in for one ads or where I sit down and say to myself, the right and perfect place is coming to me right here and right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had wonderful places.
Mm-hmm.
So, use it. Use these things, people. Stop thinking that you have to do all the work. Where did we get that idea from? I don't know. Tony? Question? No? Yes?
Let me ask you a practical question.
Yes.
So, Andy and I have been working on a project for a few years, and we're been unable to finish it and get the right people. Nobody seems to work out. And maybe there's some, you know, we're not letting it just work. What advice do you have?
The right and perfect people are coming. Not all these others that sit down and say the right and perfect people are coming. This is a wonderful project. People want to be involved in it. People want to do this. You see? That's how you do those things. See, we think we have to work with the world and so forth. We're not about working with the world here, people. I'm working with what we call spirit. You see? The spirit will do anything for you, by the way. It just does. Does that help you?
It does, so we're, you know, so someone will show up, people will just show up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's the mystery of this thing.
I feel like maybe I've pushing those people away, though. Like, they're arriving, I just don't notice
that,
you know.
No, you'll know the right and perfect person. And the right and perfect person is coming to you right here and right now. Remember that I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. Do you need that one done again? It's just a good mind, she remembers. Do you have a question, young lady?
I don't know. It makes me look bad, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Well, nothing makes you look bad. Why?
You're saying this about the right and perfect person coming into your life. I have a friend that I just see this happening in her life just all the time. And she doesn't, you know, say this. She doesn't have this belief that the right and perfect person will be coming into her life at the right time, but it's just this right person comes into her life, and this other right person.
Well, then she must have that. Everything starts in the mind. It doesn't happen to her baby unless she's thinking.
I guess.
Yes. So she's just not revealing that to her. She doesn't know that she's doing it. Many people use this teaching, people, and know these techniques. Never set a foot in a church or in a religious science center of any type. By watching yourself, by observing life, it comes to you. that aunt that I told you about, that 97, I said to her once, Aunt Catherine, how do you do this? You live alone, you do all this stuff, you're always in a good mood. And she looked at me and she said, well, Dallas, I control my thinking. It's all, that's the essence of this whole teaching, learning to control your thinking. And we don't control our thinking because we think that the mind is something. The mind is nothing. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use, and you fail to use it. If you fail to use it, the mind takes over. And what does it instill in you? It instills doubt and fear and hate and all those things. So remind yourself, I am not my mind. My mind is mine to use. And then use your mind that way. Make sense? It's a simple, simple, simple thing. Control your thinking. Become a witness to your thinking. Know what's going on inside there. I have to stop my mind all the time. My goodness, I'd go down the tubes, you know. Down the tubes.
So, well, I mean, you have to stop your mind all the time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have a vivid imagination. And it can go, oh, gosh, before I know it. But I've learned how to stop it, and I've learned to go in the other direction.
It takes the effort. It's like the default position.
It takes noticing.
Is to go not in the right direction.
But it takes noticing.
So it takes the more energy.
Right. Most people do not notice what they're saying. They do not notice what they're doing, and they certainly do not notice what they're thinking. It's the whole idea of notice. Now, I think I told you this years and years ago, the word notice means to become aware. When you notice something, you become aware of it. You see? Just notice what you're doing. Christine?
Sometimes I don't feel like I know exactly what I want. I get
really confused. But you must always say to yourself, I know exactly what I want. Never let your mind tell you you don't know what you want. I know exactly what I want. Now, when you start that, your mind will fight you, and it'll say, no, you don't, Christine, and this, that, and everything. That becomes a habit. You allow your mind to take over. Do not do that. You always must say, I know exactly what I want. I know exactly what I want. And then that will start happening for you. Ah, you see, now there, you cannot say that.
What
you
did have she to say?
Well, what if I don't know what I want? You have to say, I know exactly what I want. That's the little trick in that whole thing. That's the rub, so to speak, because your mind was, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I know. I know. I know.
And you ask God to reveal it to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Like my purpose, I always ask God to reveal to me what I need to do in this moment, or what my purpose is in my divine plan.
Well, you
I
have
know a that's good enough.
Well, it is good. Everyone has a divine plan. Now, just say to yourself, I'm living my divine plan. I am living my divine plan. That's another thing that the mind does. You see, the mind wants to stop you. It wants to tell you, you don't know your divine plan.
Puts it out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You must always know. Why is it important to always know? Because you're using the mind of God. The mind of God knows everything and knows exactly what it's doing.
I think what I'm hearing is when people say, I don't know what I want, is because they don't think they can have anything.
Yes.
If you could have anything, then you know what you want.
I start with always, I know exactly what I want. Most people that are in therapy say to the therapist, I don't know what I want, that's why I'm here, I don't know. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. Stop that nonsense. You know exactly what you want. Unless you're going to make the therapist wealthy, go keep doing it. But that's one of the main reasons people get into therapy. Because their mind tells them, you don't know what you want. And that therapist is going to tell you what you want. That therapist doesn't know what you want.
Mainly because they don't know who they are.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Yes. So, and that's, you can remember that. That's your purpose. To know what you want, to know that you are a spiritual being, to know that you're God in action. Those are your purposes in life. Service is a purpose in life. Yes, Jerry.
You know, often I hear people, not just in metaphysics, but just in my life, people that I run into and involved with, them, you know this term like, if it's God's will, then it'll
be. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Now, that one I hate.
Yeah.
Here's what you must know.
It's meant to be.
God's will for you is good and only good. God's will is not, I want you to be a doctor. I want you to be a lawyer. No, that is not what it's about. And the new thing on television, that Christian mingles, I'm going to hit them. You know, find out who God has in mind for you. God doesn't have anybody in mind for you, for God's sake. They make God into a dating service. It's horrible. And these people believe this type of thing. I heard a whopper on the television. And I thought, oh, how could they say things like that? Oh, maybe that wasn't it. It was a friend of mine died, and the obituary said he went to join God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought, well, that's nice. Did you take a train? No, you have to listen all the time to what's going on out there. Last week I talked about, and I'm still, you know, not upset, but I'm concerned about Flo. I love that Flo commercial. But when she said to that boy, no, only winners can have sprinkles, I could have knocked her off the chair.
Did you call him up?
No, I'm going to find out how to do it. Tell him that's the worst thing I've ever heard. That's putting people down. And it's saying, you know, everyone you see can have sprinkles. That's that idea. Would you think that God chose favorites? I'm not a winner, so I can't have sprinkles. You can have sprinkles. Everybody can have sprinkles. Pardon?
We can all have sprinkles.
Yes, exactly. It has nothing to do with that.
Sprinkles for everything.
You're always a winner. Remember that. We're all winners. You know. Now, we have different criteria because of the world out there, you know. You're a winner if you have more money. You're a winner if you win the game. You're a winner if you do. Tell yourself every day, I'm a winner. And I know exactly what I want. Yeah. You have to keep telling yourself that till it sinks in, till you absolutely believe it, and it will become true for you. you're molding this universe the same way as you take Play-Doh and make something out of it. I used to give the illustration that the universe and everything was a Play-Doh factory. You put the Play-Doh in there, and you put that right cookie cutter, whatever they call those things, in. You get it out the other end, don't you? Exactly. That's what you do with this teaching. You put it into your mind, what you want is going to come out. So think of it. It's Play-Doh. Play with it. I grew up before the age of Play-Doh. We didn't have Play-Doh when I was a child.
We
had clay. That which they hated because it made marks and stains.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard on them.
Yes.
And you couldn't eat it.
Yes.
Ooh, no.
Question, Andy?
Oh yeah, I have a question. So I want to explore this idea that you were offended or bothered by this joke in the progressive commercial about.
That wasn't a joke.
Oh, it is, because it's a takeoff of from the play Coffee is for Closers, Sprinkles is for Winners. Like they're just what's the name of the play? Glengarry Glen Ross. Glen, is that right? Yeah.
Oh.
So
aren't they real estate people?
Yeah. So I mean, I found it funny. I mean, I totally get that, like, you know, it's not a metaphysical saying, but I thought it was funny because it was a parody.
It's not a metaphysical saying. It's not a nice thing to say and put out on television that you're not a winner. To me, maybe I'm too sensitive. I'll have to stay home.
We'll talk about that for a minute, because, like, you know, the sensitivity is that, like, you know, something happened on the Academy Awards that really upset, you know.
Well, it's all perspective. I understand that.
It's perspective, okay.
But I that is not a good commercial. And I like Flo.
Okay, so how do we...
Well, you have to know.
We're in a world of perspective. We're in a world where, you know, we are affected, or we allow ourselves to be affected by what goes on around us.
Yeah.
You know, like, should we... Is it better metaphysically to let stuff roll off us, or to get upset about it, or what are we? What's
I think the best thing is to notice and then internally do something about it. Now I can internally forgive Flo, and I can forgive the Progressive Insurance and the makers and all of that, but I still do not think it's a good idea to say to somebody, "You're not a winner, so you don't get sprinkles." Mm-hmm. Whether it's a joke. Or what it is.
Yeah.
It just, pardon, it's mean spirited in some way.
Well, it's like Sean Penn last night.
Yeah. Well, that's what she said. Yeah.
Now, I just was like, I can't believe he just said that.
Where'd you get your green card?
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
Green card.
Oh, and he swore, too. He said, I don't know.
Well, now, you know,
shit.
I'm not against swearing.
So, but he's, you know, that's kind of...
I have a difficult time with that one.
But he says, and I was like, it went so fast, and then he goes, where did you get your green card after that? And I was like, did he just say what I heard?
How awful is
that?
Yes, but then if you watched it, you also saw that when he came up, he gave him a big hug, because he wouldn't have said that if they weren't really close friends.
Right.
And generally speaking, something like that would be very offensive to say. But,
sort of a backhanded compliment. I think he was trying to give him a backhanded
compliment. Yeah.
Off color.
It just
didn't work.
Yeah.
It's not the place for that kind of thing.
So back to the
you always have what you want, or I know what I want.
I always know what I want.
So when the mind starts going, oh, you want this, oh, you want that, that's from you keeping you from saying.
Yes.
That's always the
one.
Exactly,
yes.
What I want. I know exactly what I want.
What do you say?
So how do you stop from the mind?
Well, you have to keep saying, I know exactly what I want until your mind stops, so it hears
stops.
What you're saying.
Until you have it.
Pardon?
Or until you have what you want.
Well, until you have what you want. But even when you have what you want, you have to keep saying, I know exactly what I want, because there's more coming.
You already have what you want.
Thank you more.
Yes, thank you more, please.
I have a situation where I have several jobs because I don't have one full time job right now. One, I was working Christmas. It's a low paying job. I'm not really crazy about it. So I was like, you know I want a full time job, but I still work this. Just I still feel like I need to go to this. Because that, it was offered to me. So how do you, like, that's another thing. Like, you say you got a real, this kind of job, but then you got this over here. How do you know which one is the one for you? Do you just take it, thinking knowing God might put something else there in your place? Or, I don't know. That's sort of like.
Well, when you're out of work, always take a job.
Yeah.
And the reason why you do that is because then your mind knows that you're working.
Yeah.
If you're not working, your mind says you're not working.
Yeah,
so then you're never going to work. And then when you get a job like you're talking about,
yeah.
You do the very best you can on that job.
Mm-hmm.
You must work yourself into the job to be able to work yourself out of it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So I took the job. I'm getting offered other jobs.
Yes, of course. As
yes.
soon as I tell people that all the time.
Like
oh, I can't take that job. It's not enough money. I said, take the job and more will come.
Yeah, I know.
But you have to break the pattern. You have to break the pattern in your mind. Always take the job. And you'll see it will open up other things for you. But I have that. Now that's a difficult one for most people to grasp. And the other thing that I have, oh, I'm used to making more money. I said, you're not making any right now. So how can you be used to making more?
Oh.
I can't pay my bills and I can't take that job.
Yeah.
But you nuts, take the job.
That's it.
And then work at that job. And the universe will get you out of that situation. That's the where you apply the idea that spirit can do for me what I cannot do. It can find my right place and put me in it. This job is not the right place. But I know that spirit is working on that right here and right now, and I'm being lifted out of this job. But you have to do the bad work. You have to go to work loving it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to work overdoing it. You have to work yourself in to a job to be able to work yourself out of it. Most people hate their job to just sit there and do lackadaisical work. But you're never going to get out of it when you do lackadaisical work. You must put yourself into it.
I've been working, you know, my situation with Tubby, and I always, like, the job, and then it's ending Friday, maybe, or
yeah.
I might go another week. And they're like, oh, you're so appreciative, you're such a hard worker. My supervisor's like, I can't believe you got everything done, like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. But there's no job. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me.
Yes.
And there's no permanent job. One company was, like, they were fighting to hire me. And there was no money in the budget.
Well, we have to change your... Over the years, we've tried to change your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know perfectly well that all you have the same scenario. You just have a different job all the time. But what you know, which most people don't, you can get a job. You know, because you say that, oh, I know how to get a job, and you know how to get a job.
Yeah, poor people coming today.
Yes. So now say to yourself, I know exactly what I want, and the right and perfect job is coming my way with the right and perfect pay.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you say to yourself, I'm tired of all this, I'm over all this. Now, oh God, lift me out of here. This is how you use this teaching, people. We don't have Bibles. If you want a Bible, go someplace else. Read the Bible.
How do you use this teaching?
By using it constantly, by knowing that something is going to happen wonderful for you all the time, that this thing called God is for you, not against you, that you live in a friendly universe.
So what do you call the work that we do in metaphysics? Treatment is called treatment, I guess?
Treatment and affirmations.
How do we make this automatic for us?
By working on it all the time, it becomes automatic. Uh-huh. You just have to keep believing and believing and believing. When I was got the candles today from IKEA, I said, oh, thank you very much, God. And I knew perfectly well what happened. I'm delighted that those things happened to me.
What in your mind is probably the best thought to try to always get back to?
Well, the best one is always, I believe, but help me with my unbelief.
What about daily affirmative prayer?
Oh, yeah, you can do affirmative prayer. Yes. Always, I believe what Paul said, pray without ceasing. And you're always praying without ceasing. When you're thankful, when you're grateful, when you see these things, that's a prayer. That's a form of prayer. You don't have to be down on your knees and spend hours and hours and hours praying. You're working with intelligence. God is intelligent, people, and you must work with it intelligently. You know, when I say to God, I want this, this, and this, I don't repeat myself. What do I think? God has Alzheimer's and can't remember what I asked for? No. No.
I believe.
But help me with my unbelief. Everyone has a little bit of unbelief, and it's that unbelief that we're trying to get over all the time. That's the negation that go on in your mind. You can't have that because of this. You can't do this because of this. Yeah. And as soon as you get rid of any negation, you have your demonstration.
This evening you started, we started talking about receiving.
Yes.
Which makes me think of the word allowing.
Well, you can use the word allowing. I allow things to come into my life.
Right. And so I'm just trying to remember what you said about How do we receive? How do we allow? What do we do? What do we think we?
Well, when I want to do that, I just open up my hands and say, I'm receiving. And I'm ready to receive. Most people never put their hands in slant.
So it's about ready, being ready.
Yes. How many times do you put your palms up? Pardon?
Five
times you do that? No, but how many times during the day we sit with our hands down? To receive, your palms must be up. And you'll see that. Don't give up, people. Just keep trying, please. No, you just have to keep trying it. I knew that it works. You know? And you have to know that it works.
And I know that never turned out money or anything. I've had people, like in my financial experience, people give me money. I never say no. I just accept.
Oh, absolutely. Because you say no. I say, do you have more?
You have more, yeah.
You write a bigger check.
But I'm like, oh, don't pay this bill, don't. I said, no, I don't do that. That's a gift from the universe. You know?
Absolutely.
You never
turn it down. No. Well, you know, I met a friend about 4 years ago, and she started just taking me out to dinner and giving me her car. And, I mean, just was showering. Every time I was with her, I would some financial gift would be coming my way. And it was really hard for me to just completely accept it. And so
why?
I asked her, I said to her, I said, you know, I don't have this to give back to you in this way. And she's Buddhist. And she says, you know what? She says, you're one of the few people that receives, that gives me the gift of receiving.
Absolutely.
She says, the giving and the receiving are exactly the same.
Yes.
And every time I give to you, you're giving me a gift.
Yes, absolutely.
So I was much, from then on, I was able to, whatever she was bringing to me, I looked at it as I was giving something back to her.
So now why don't you surround yourself with more people like
that?
Really?
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 So do
exactly
it.
Exactly the kind of people.
Yeah. You can do it. There are people out there. People are wonderful. People are generous. People have money.
Right. Exactly.
So know that. And then you're not taking from them. You're allowing them to give.
That's right.
You see?
She had explained that to me, though, because my inclination was that it wasn't equal. You know,
stop that damn thing about
it has to be equal.
That's the worst thing in the world. But you sit down and know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and stop trying to be equal. You're not equal. I go out with tons of people with tons more money than I have. And they treat me all the time, and I say, thank you very much.
I do too now.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they don't have a lot, but they believe in you.
Yes, exactly.
And they get it back. This woman is taken care of.
I know.
She's not rich by any means, but she gives up, she gave me $10, $20. I mean, that's not a lot, but that was loving to me.
Well, it's
lovely. She's getting work now. She didn't have work before that, she's getting work.
Yes.
And you know, it has a lot to do with her giving.
Yes. So, learn to receive people.
Yeah.
And you'll see all the difference in the world.
True.
Use your hands if you have to. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to receive.
Mm-hmm.
I am ready to receive. And you will start to receive. But you're not going to receive with your hands like this, I can assure you. This does not work. This works. Okay. All right then. We'll close the meeting with what? It's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.